I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Hello, I'm Solazar, and you're listening to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, as you can tell, I'm flying solo. The beautiful Kirilani is not with us this evening. But we're here to still tell you that quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies. And in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey and the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds May 2nd and 3rd. We had our fall fair November 1st and 2nd at the fairgrounds, a wonderful event. We did a mystery show and Houdini seance because Houdini died October 31st. 1926. So Halloween is always the opportunity for the celebration of his life and his death. But May 2nd and 3rd is going to give us the opportunity to celebrate May Day, Beltane, the birth of spring, the transformation, the rebirth that we're all going through. Right now, everybody's feeling a little bit of the pain and the pressure and the stress. It's time for us to rebirth ourselves. See, we're holding on to what's old instead of embracing what's new. We're not releasing and letting go of those things that no longer serve us. We've been holding on to them and finding old patterns. I mean, just recently, I realized that in the last year, even though I thought I had released some things, I'd held on to some old patterns in a massively smacked me upside the face. Can't tell you a better way to describe it. And boy, was I both hurt, wounded, and offended by the whole process. But then as I worked through it, I realized all I really did was force myself to see what I wasn't allowing myself to see. And that gives me an opportunity to grow and move away from it, to find new ways, new directions, and new approaches. Because the same old stuff just isn't going to work anymore. Now, today is a special day. Today is Fat Tuesday. Yes, 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 it's Mardi Gras. And most people know that Mardi Gras has a history and tradition that goes way, way back. It really only became a holiday in 1582 when Pope Gregory XIII placed it on his Gregorian calendar. But it's the culmination of Carnival, which means the removal of flesh and meat. People often abstained, the whole idea even of Lent, of abstaining from meat during this Lenten period, which is followed from the Mardi Gras, which Ash Wednesday starts on Wednesday, was because there was no refrigeration. The meat would go bad, and at this time of the year, the animals had been slaughtered so much further back that by now it was getting really hazardous to eat the meat until later on in the year as we got further into spring and summer. And there's also some pagan festivals that are considered part of the roots of Mardi Gras, including the Roman festival of Saturnalia and Lupercalia, which both had feasting and masquerades, which are part of the components of the modern Mardi Gras. But I do like the idea of, this total release prior to this period of suddenly fasting. I'm not in favor of the fasting. I think the fasting goes back to self-imposed suffering, which comes very much out of that Christian tradition. And I'm sorry about that. But I like the idea of this whole celebration. It's a celebration of life. So when we look at February and the energy of February, what we're talking about is we start with Imbolc and Candlemas and Groundhog's Day, and those are all the presages or the notices that spring is coming. I really don't care with Punxsutawney Phil goes sees his shadow and hides or comes out. Doesn't really matter to me because we've just transitioned anyway that says spring is coming. That doesn't mean we're not going to necessarily see more of winter, but it's telling us it's time for us to shed the coats, the furs, all of the trappings that we use to hide inside in our winter and start preparing ourselves for the light and the rebirth of spring. I mean, spring is, after all, every year, it is our rebirth period. It is our time for coming out. When we look at even the story of Jesus and the crucifixion and the resurrection from the tomb, that's really a story of rebirth, regardless of whether you buy into the faith or not. So for those who don't know, I don't buy into the faith. But the myth of the stories have a lot of power when we look at the imagery and the mythology that's underlying all of these. All of these stories are telling us, rebirth ourselves. When Persephone goes down to live in Hades in autumn, and spends that time down here before she can come back to the earth. And then when she returns and is allowed to return and her mother earth starts rebirthing in spring, that's our message of saying, have we looked from year to year about the rebirthing of ourselves? How often do we actually go around actually just continue to live our lives by paying attention to the daily and what's required right now in that moment and not taking a care of whether or not we are regenerating ourselves? So when you look around at the people around you as well as yourself, you can pick out those that are regenerating themselves. You know those that are kind of working on being something more than what they present at that moment. It's not necessarily the person who's on a diet or the person who's taken up an exercise regimen. It's the person who's doing the inner work. Kira and I were speaking last night about some folks, and I made the comment, and you can turn around and say, hey, that was judgmental, Solazar. But actually, I meant it as an observation. I'm not judging. I made a comment that one of these people, I don't know that that person can look in the mirror and look back and see themselves. And so many times in my life, I was in that place. Now, I would have said last year I could do that. It's very clear that I had some work to do because it reminds me of Saturn and Ganesha remind me of the two greatest gifts in life. Saturn actually gives us those places where the learning is going to come, the lesson is going to come. And it's kind of what Ganesha does in Hindu mythology. You know, Ganesha is there to present the challenge to us so we can get the learning from the lesson so we can move forward to our next level. And Saturn is the same way. And last year, I pretty much came off my Saturn return. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that there wasn't some more activity going on. So, I would not put the idea out that we can never stop learning, because I think that that is a sad, sad state of affairs when we tie ourselves up like that. But what I was really getting to is that you can look at the people around you, and you know the people that are trying to work, or are working, I should say, on themselves from an inner place versus those that are strictly working on themselves from an outer place. So sometimes the outer work is an indication of the inner work, and often the outer work is just outer work because we're identifying ourselves by that external persona, that perception, that presentation we make externally into the world, and we're identifying ourselves by that external world. But when we do that inner work, it's very different. It's nuanced. It's subtle. Sometimes it's not always as obvious. And it also can be reflected in how we describe ourselves. When we start thinking about ourselves, or people ask us, you know, on Channeling the Wisdom of the Masters with Michelle Newman that was just passed, there was one of the messages the guides had passed is also, you know, how we look or define ourselves. And I was thinking also for ourselves. How we describe ourselves to others is an indication of where our attention goes. You know, I'm a 5'11" male. Well, that's certainly an external identification of an identified gender and a height. But that doesn't say anything about me. You know, I'm a retired Marine. Okay, that's about a past period of my life. But that doesn't say anything about me. You know, I'm a defrocked Roman Catholic. Okay, that's kind of a philosophical statement of my belief system. But that doesn't say anything about me. So when we're describing ourselves to other people, what are we really saying about us? In a business situation, we're certainly representing ourselves as a person of a certain type of business that may be of interest to another person of a certain type of business. But when we get down to who we truly are and who we want the world to see us as, are we hiding? Are we behind that fur coat? Are we Punxsutawney Phil that saw a shadow and ran back inside to hermitize for another 6 weeks? Or are we willing to say, you know, the sun is out and it makes it easier for me to see what's around here because I want to observe, I want to see, I want to experience, and I want to go forward and grow? How do you describe yourself? Now, we have an experience coming up. So today is our Fat Tuesday, our Mardi Gras. Of course, the most famous ones that are celebrated are in New Orleans and Rio de Janeiro. But tomorrow, we have many other things happening as well. For instance, tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, when those of the Catholic faith, I actually don't know if other Christian religions do that. I certainly know the Catholics do. Will suddenly decide to give something up for the period of Lent to represent the suffering of Jesus as he went into the desert leading up to his crucifixion. And, you know, whatever. Whatever floats your boat as far as that goes, but nothing floats my boat as far as that goes. But here's what I am going to say. I think what people should give up for Lent, this is just me, is Lent. So often growing up, and I can't speak for today, those people around me for did their Lent give up thing, it was more a matter of ego and pride. It was not a matter of spiritual growth. So if you're going to give up something, I think what we should be giving up is the need to have some kind of accomplishment as a way of saying we've grown spiritually. So people might give up meat, or they might give up smoking for those that were smokers, or they might give up chocolate for those that like chocolate. But all of that, once again, is not about spiritual growth. It's just about making a commitment to give something up. I'd like to see people give up judgment. I'd like to see people give up war. I'd like to see people be willing to do more with less, as they helped contribute to those who had less and were unable to do more. Those are the things I'd like to see people consider as part of their giving up process. However, that's just what I would like to see. That's not what's about to happen. You know, people are going to do what people need to do. Now, tomorrow, we also have another phenomenal process happening. Oh, I'm calling it phenomenal. You might say it's just natural, but it's our new moon. It's our new moon in the sign of Aquarius for the second time in 30 days. Now that is pretty auspicious. Now it's very close to, it's in the last degree and the last minute of the degree of Aquarius. So only a few minutes of the clock away from the sun's entrance into Pisces. It's that close. So it brings an interesting conundrum for us in this 30-day cycle. It's that it follows an Aquarian cycle, and the Aquarian cycle is actually starting again as the sun moves into Pisces. So we've got a little bit of a residual energy, and then boom, the moon will move into Pisces. So we're going to have the logical brilliance of Aquarius at our fingertips. The sensitive energy of Pisces will be whispering to us at the same time as the sun makes that move. And Pisces is an extremely sensitive energy. Many, many empathic people and psychic people are actually Pisceans more than other signs. You're going to say, where do I get my information? And I'm going to tell you, like every other statistic, I made it up. But we're going to have the strong impulse to be ourselves. This is going to force us to both go in and go without. So we're going to feel very we're going to feel very mentally attuned. We're going to have mental acuity going on, but yet at the same time, we're going to have this inner sensitivity. And that inner sensitivity is the part that we want to focus on for actually becoming more of who we truly are. It's not the easiest thing in the world for any of us to do. So we're getting ready as we move forward into March. Remember, we're going to have the seventh square of Uranus-Pluto. So it's ending that whole cycle that started in 2012. So we've got a lot of things that are starting to move into place. And on Thursday, we're going to have Chinese New Year, the Year of the Sheep. So we get to put this running horse behind us. I don't know about you, but it was a fast-running, tumultuous year for me. And I am a horse. I'm a wood horse. So this last year was my year. And boy, did this baby run me and tucker me out. So I want you to actually consider, what are you going to do in your Year of the Sheep, which is a more mellow time? So I want you to think, are you ready now to bring that light out? You know, all of us are born as divine creatures. And as we say on the website by Pierre Deschardins, you know, we are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We're actually spiritual beings having a physical experience. So how are you physically experiencing your spirituality? What are you doing? What practices have you adopted? And have you adopted those practices more as enforced and rigid routines? Like, okay, you know, I have to do my meditation at 6:35 in 15 seconds because otherwise my whole day is shot. Or are you able to adopt some level of a flow? Every practice requires a discipline, no question about it. But when the discipline or the enforcement of the discipline becomes the practice, we've lost the content of our practice. So this is a year where we can relax a little bit. Sheep is one of the Chinese lucky animals. The sheep doesn't have to do the farm work. They have the freedom to look for any kind of grass. They never worry about running out of grass. They have mild personalities. They're friendly to humans. Sheep are an auspicious animal. So the question to ask yourself is, are you ready to go from that running year into a year of trusting, believing, and allowing? It's not easy. It's not easy. Now, this coming Friday, which I want to mention now and mention several times, we're going to have the quarterly preview at the Circle of Light over at the Unitarian Universalist Sanctuary. And that's run by Lillian Nolan from the Seventh Awakening, founders of the Seventh Awakening. And Lily will do the numerology and channeled guidance. Joyce Muse, who does Your Lucky Stars 1 p.m. on Wednesdays right here on Radio Monterey, will do the astrology. And Kirilani and I will do the Wisdom of the Tarot. So we're going to have that preview to look forward. But as we go through the rest of this month, I think it's important for us to talk about this, what we came up with last quarterly preview for this month. And it's the card that we call the Outsider. Now, this is a card that shows a child standing at a metal gate. And the metal gate is between a stone wall. And outside the gate, the child can see kind of the faint hue of rainbow colors, you know, very pastel looking. And the child standing there holding the gate. And one end of the gate, there's a chain wrapped around it with a lock. But the lock is not locked, and the child is not aware and not paying attention that that lock is not locked. So the child never pushes that gate open. And what the message of this card is, push your damn gate open. Stop talking about what you can't do, what you're stopped from doing, what you've been prevented from doing, what hasn't happened in your life, and push the damn gate open. A friend of mine always says, the hardest part of exercising is the first step out the door. Start taking your first steps, whatever they are. I've spent a small fortune, and I mean a small fortune because now I'm destitute and I'm using cups on the streets. But I've spent a small fortune on consultants. And at the end of the day, no matter what a consultant tells me for my businesses or anything else, you got to take a step out the door. You have to take an action. You got to do in order to learn how to do. We cannot sit back and wait for all the information, knowledge, and everything else to be perfect before we take an action, because it will never happen. Time is shifting. We're shifting. Everything around us is changing and moving and evolving. By the time we get it perfect for yesterday's perfection, we're on to today, and now it's no longer perfect for today. So take a look at those areas in your life where you've been keeping yourself from pushing the gate open. Think about that. Now, I'm going to be back with more Good Vibrations Radio right after this commercial break. So I want to let you know that this is a free form Tuesday. You can call in. You can get a reading if you'd like one. You can discuss any topic if you would like. But essentially, this is a wild card because this is Fat Tuesday. This is Mardi Gras. All things are open. Nothing is restricted. Well, we're going to say within reason. But this is Wild Card Tuesday, and we're going to play it that way because it is Fat Tuesday. And if you want to call in and talk about religion, if you want to call in and tell me where my views are wrong, if you want to call in and just ask a question, if you want to call in and have a conversation, the number is 831-899-5792. Now, I have plenty more information that I will share, but call in and let's make it a conversation. This is Solazar and Kirilani right here on Radio Monterey with Good Vibrations Radio, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm David Henderson speaking on behalf of the Peace Coalition of Monterey County and our local Peace Resource Center. The Peace Coalition of Monterey County currently comprises 20 diverse Monterey County community organizations that are dedicated to and work toward peace and the promotion of nonviolent solutions to world conflicts. Our coalition also supports and helps maintain the Monterey County Peace Resource Center, located at 1364 Fremont Boulevard in Seaside. This center has resources where groups can meet and individuals can learn more about peace and social justice. Visit us at 1364 Fremont Boulevard in Seaside. Get information at our website, www.peacecentral.org, or call 831-899-7322. Again, that's the Monterey County Peace Coalition and Peace Resource Center, www.peacecentral.org, or call 831-899-7322.
Want to see real change in your neighborhood? Voting for Obama was important, but upgrading your home to clean solar energy is the next step. Federal incentives have made it free for homeowners. You heard that right. Altera Solar will install your solar system for no cost. Call 831-425-2608 for more information or find us online at alterasolar.com. We also install electric car charging stations. Power your home and car with Altera Solar. Altera Solar, local solar power.
If you have a loved one who's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, a caregiver support group can help you find out more about available community resources and learn from others who are going through similar experiences. On the second Wednesday of every month, the Alzheimer's Association holds a caregiver support group at the Sally Griffin Center in Pacific Grove from 1:30 to 3 p.m. Call your local office for more information at 831-647-9890.
Thank you. You can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Light. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajita Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio.
Right here on Radio Monterey. Now, I was talking a little earlier about what's coming up, the fact that this is Fat Tuesday, the fact that Ash Wednesday will be tomorrow, and Chinese New Year, the Year of the Sheep, starts right after that. So there's quite a few things that are going on that are interesting, but one thing today that interested me a great deal was the news about Leslie Gore. Now, I don't know if any of you are even familiar with Leslie Gore, and I'm sure some of you are, but essentially she was known for quite a few what I consider iconic songs in the early 60s and continued on to a musical career. But she essentially represented the voice of a teen generation at that time, and actually I was very familiar with her for several reasons. One is I was consistently babysat, or my teenage cousins were consistent babysitters for myself and my sister. And they often held, unchaperoned, unofficial parties when they were supposedly babysitting. I certainly had... As a very young lad of single digits, I probably had my first dance and my first kiss all going on at the same time from their parties. So it was very interesting to have that experience. But one of the things that Leslie Gore did is she represented kind of an interesting angst of the teen generation, and she was known for several iconic songs, and I'm going to try to pull some of those up. I actually am having an issue right now with the PC when I was trying to pull them up, but I'll get them up in a minute. I think she represents a lot of what we all go through in our life, and here's what I mean by that. Right now, when we're going through this period of identifying who we really are, when we're teenagers, we are at our most critically vulnerable of trying to say and be who we think we are. And at that time, it's about who we think we are. It's not about who we are, because we really don't know who we are yet. We're trying to find that out. And so how do we identify it? We identify an awful lot of it by our friends around us, the people we hang out with, and also by the things that are going on, the activities that they see as important. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves now is that how we're still living our life? So, for instance, is this your life? So here we are. Leslie Gore is telling us it's her party. She's having it. And let's hear what Johnny does. Now, this would seem to identify a woman who was really tied in with this whole scene of being with a boy or a man or in a relationship. Let's listen to her next one. So here we have It's Her Party. Johnny's left with Judy. She comes back wearing his ring. And now it's Judy's turn to cry because Johnny's come back. But does any of that identify Leslie Gore? Would it surprise you to know that Leslie Gore was a feminist and an activist? She was very big on, in fact, making sure that women stood up for their rights, their bodies, and identified or represented themselves to vote. That's what I said earlier, is like, what are we saying outside, and does that really identify who we are? None of these songs identify Leslie Gore for the woman that she was, the activist that she was, the person that she was. But they do represent a girl who went from representing the angst of a generation where everything was about that relationship to leading up to this song that I think is the epitome of really where she was. So let me get to it, because I think this is the whole journey. Just let me be myself. That's all I ask of you. So think of that when we start talking about bringing our true self out. How much have we hid behind things? As I spoke with Julie King yesterday on Good Vibrations Radio, we were talking about how in my Marine Corps career, I could identify with when I put the uniform on, it created some image in my mind and some persona that I projected out to the world. As a matter of fact, at one time, driving in D.C., I'd been on temporary duty there for almost 3 weeks. I just had about 4 days to go before I was coming back. I'd looked down. This is before GPS. This is before everything else. I'd looked down at the map on the driver's seat as the light turned green. I moved forward, looked down at the map, and looked up, and the traffic had stopped suddenly in front of me. And I hit the brakes, and I ended up rear-ending the car in front of me. Now, it didn't seem like either of us had tremendous damage, but as it turned out later, the way my car was, it had gone kind of underneath hers and bent her tailpipe, and she needed a new exhaust system. And mine, the hood latch had been damaged. So I drove over to where I was going and got to the parking garage back in Washington, in the district of Washington, D.C. for the meeting, and realized this car just couldn't. I needed to return this car to the rental car company, which was over by what's now Reagan Airport. It used to be National Airport at that time. And they told me to bring the car back. Could I drive it back over? And I said, sure. And I came across what's known as the 14th Street Bridge, and there's like 5 lanes of traffic. And I was in the middle lane, and the hood latch released. So the front hood came up. and kind of shattered, you know, hit against the windshield, which kind of splintered. I shouldn't say shattered. It's a different image. I immediately put my flashers on. Now, the traffic on either side was very aware and very responsive because I'm looking out the side windows and they're all slowing down and backing up as I put my emergency lights on and I make it across to the side and park off on the side there. And the funny part was, as I was across from the Jefferson Memorial, and the park ranger comes running up to me and going, "Did you see that?" And it was kind of like, yeah, I kind of did. I was in the car. But I called the National, and they brought a tow truck at that point. I wasn't very far from them, National Rental Car. And when I got there and I was relaying the accident and the accident, two accidents, to the woman said to me, she said, "How could you explain that so calmly?" And I said, "Well, it's the uniform. When I take it off, I cry." But in one sense, there was almost a truth to that little line. The truth is, when I put the uniform on, it created this persona. It's like looking at one of the Justice League thing, one of the Justice League movies. And when Tony Stark puts on his Iron Man, he's Iron Man, you know, or Captain America puts on, you know, grabs his shield and in his costume. It's the same type of thing. It creates an external persona. But all of us going through life maybe did not have as defined a uniform. But whatever uniform we adopted created that external persona that we projected into the world. So this year, last year, we were supposed to identify that persona. And this year, we were supposed to identify our true self, our spiritual self, our real self. And this year, we're supposed to bring that self out. But now, on this Aquarius new moon, if you have not yet gotten clear about the true you, that's underneath all those layers, this is the good time to do it. You know, this is a creative moon. This is a moon of deep sensitivity. This is a moon of saying, bring it out, make it happen, do it now. Don't wait. You know, George Eliot, the wonderful writer, who actually was a pseudonym because women were not expected to be writers. But George Eliot always said, it's never too late to be what you might have been. And I love that quote just to remind me that Marianne Evans, who had to write as George Eliot because people would not purchase works from women writers, said, there's nothing stopping you from being what you want to be. She wanted to be a writer. They wouldn't buy from a woman. She became George Eliot. How wonderful is that? Is that not the same image? Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to say. You know, you don't own me. I own me. I am the be-all and end-all of my life in the sense of I know who I am, what my true motivations are. Now, the truth is out there, for all of us, we've got to be honest with ourselves, though. If we're BSing ourselves, if we're lying to ourselves about our inner motivations, our inner desires, our inner drives, then there's nothing I could say, because if we're going to deceive ourselves, we're going to deceive ourselves. You know, the story, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, was really attempting to represent that idea of duality inside all of us, that there are two sides to us, the charming Dr. Jekyll, the evil and malevolent Mr. Hyde. Now, I don't believe it goes quite as dark as that, but I believe all of us, given the right circumstances, could turn on others. I once said to a gentleman who worked in a very critical place within the Department of Defense that relies completely on integrity, that I believe that everyone can be bought. He was very offended, but I stand by that statement. It's just we never know what level a person can be bought. Can they be bought through pain? Can they be bought through pain of someone else? You know, how many fictional stories are about the fact that in order to get someone to comply with something, they kidnap or take away, you know, their child, their wife, their family, their parents or something. In other words, there's always a price that each of us would go to before we would compromise some level of our integrity. What that level would be, I don't know. I truly don't know. But I believe everybody has a price. And that may sound as if I don't have faith in human beings. I do. I have absolute faith in human beings. I also have absolute faith that some people will go to every end to coerce, manipulate, and harm others. You can call it evil. Some may call it Satan. It's the Satan in us. I do just call it evil. I think evil is an outcome of a choice. I don't believe people are born evil, but I think people choose to be evil. Very often we like to say it's harder to have integrity. It's harder to make the choices that represent integrity than it is to make the choices that represent evil. It's easier to be evil. It's easier to fall prey to that which is more within our grasp, whether it's ours to have or not. What do I mean by that? I mean, it's actually easy to commit armed robbery. I've done it. I did it when I was a kid living on the streets of New York. It was easier to do that. It was easier to steal things. I don't care if I was stealing food or not. It was easier. When I was cold, I stole boots, lined boots, for the winter. It was easier to do those things than to find a more legitimate alternative way of reaching those. I know that. Do I have regrets for all of that? Fortunately, I didn't leave a lasting damage to anyone. That's the fortunate part. But what I can tell you is, I don't recognize that that is the proper way to do things, but I know they were the convenient way to do things at that time when I was going through that process. So I can understand it, but it's harder to have integrity. It's harder to not do that. It's harder to say, I'm not going to do it that way. I didn't always choose that. And I look back at my life and I say the same thing. There are times I chose what I considered the way of integrity, and there are times I chose to couch my self-interest under the banner of integrity. So this has been a journey of learning, but at the end of it, right now, at the end of the journey to this point, it's not the journey's not over, I have the awareness of it. And all I'm asking for each and every one of us is to do the same awareness for ourselves. Be brutally honest with yourself. When you got into that argument with so-and-so back in 1989, was it really about that pair of shoes? Was it really about that coat? Was it really about what they supposedly did and you were self-righteously standing up for justice? Or were you just looking out for yourself from an egocentric standpoint? You need to know that. Because if you know that, not that you have to feel bad about it, not that you have to, you know, lie awake nights, not that you have to do like my name is Earl and replace your karma by making up for everything you did, although that's a great thing to do. But it's really so you know who you are now. So you know when that muscle that you built up over all those years of self-interest crops up, you can identify it for what it is and say, is this really the right choice in this moment at this time? You know, one thing I can clearly say about my life, I have really not been much of a saint, but I have been a big defender. What I mean by that is I've often boldly gone where no man has gone before. Or actually, I should say, I've often rushed in with the fools where angels fear to tread. Because of the defense of something or someone that I felt was being imposed upon. Now, we could look back on that and say, why would I do that? And that wasn't always really an egocentric thing. But I can guarantee you outside of that, that there were so many things that I chose to do because it served me, not necessarily serving another. And that's where I want to have that consciousness and awareness. And those are the areas where I'm shifting and continue to shift my life. I am not the person I was 5 years ago, and I'm not the person I was 10 years ago, and I'm not the person I was 20 years ago, and I'm certainly not the person I was 30 years ago. But I like what I received from Israel Hurtado, who is going to be a guest on our show this week, but he's also going to start a regular segment called Spirit Talk. And he'll be on the first and third Thursdays of every month, starting with March 5th. But Israel shared his new book with me today, which is guided information that came through to him. And one of the points he talks about is cultivating today and harvesting tomorrow. I think that's a powerful lesson for all of us. Are we working today to be the best that we can be, regardless of outcome? Are we working today to be the best that we can be so that we can have an even better tomorrow? And I think that's a fabulous lesson that we should all try to embrace with the energy of this month. As Kira said in our forecast call, love, 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 love is all you need in the month of February. Not because of Valentine's Day. It's because the energy, vibrational energy of February is all about balanced love. Find out the balance. Bring the balance of love in your life. And if all of your love is externally directed, you can't be balanced. If all of your love is directed to any one person, you can't be balanced. You've got to start by loving yourself, and you can only love yourself if you know who you are. You can only love yourself if you're also willing to say, hey, I've got these flaws. I'm human. I'm working on it. I want to take these rough edges, and I want to polish them up a little bit. You can only love yourself if you know who you are, if you try to clearly identify that. And this is the month that you need to really get clear on that, because going into March, we're going to find an acceleration of some of the energy. Now, time is moving faster. It's not going to slow up for anyone or any certain thing. So we're going to find that if we don't start taking the actions today for tomorrow, we're not going to have time tomorrow to take them for the day after. Don't keep putting it off. Julie and I had a wonderful conversation about balance yesterday, too, that I want to reiterate that balance, from my perspective, is not about doing everything every day in equal measure. That's BS. Balance is about making choices in every moment, but trying to ensure that if today I choose not to do something because I don't have time, that I don't continue to make that choice not to do it tomorrow or the day after. As they often said in many meal plans and diets, is that you can have a bad meal. You could have made bad choices for that meal, but don't have a bad day on your meal choices. Or if you have a bad day, don't have two bad days in a row. Work at incorporating those other elements into your life. Everything in our life is balanced on our spiritual direction. I don't know how you define it, and just because I talk down about Catholic religion or religions, I just don't like religions, doesn't mean you can't be a Christian if that's how you choose to identify yourself. You can't have a Christian belief system or a Jewish belief system or a Buddhist belief system. I really don't care. What really matters is, what type of person are you? Because if you're waiting for someone to save you, if you're waiting for some ultimate outcome to say that makes it better, if you're waiting for somebody to tell you what you need to believe, then you are not doing what you came here to be. Because each and every one of us are a divine being put on this earth to express our divinity in the best way we can. And if expressing it means somebody has to tell you how to express it, somebody has to tell you what to believe, then you are not maximizing what you already are. Because you are God. You are divine. You are all that you need to be. And all each and every one of us are doing as we go through this journey is finding out how to polish up those areas in us to make them brighter and shinier and more available for everyone to see in the world. So, you know. Oh, I almost played that, but so let's get ready for each and every one of us to take advantage of this new moon, the sun going into Pisces, the new moon in Aquarius. Let's take advantage of all this energy. Tomorrow is an extraordinary time because today is a day of alchemy. And Thursday is a day of clarity and wisdom, but tomorrow is an open door. So between the alchemy of being able to transform each and everything to the clarity and wisdom of Thursday when the Chinese New Year starts, this is the time with that energy of that new moon to go ahead and identify what you want your life to look like and who you want to be in this life. Now be clear with yourself. Be clear. Be honest. You know, maybe you're never going to get to who you want to be, but you're certainly going to be working on it. That's the spiritual journey. That's the marvelous, wondrous spiritual journey, not all the other things lumped into it. I remember Marcy Shimoff when we spoke to her about Happy for No Reason, and she shared the story of her father, who was retired. He's a retired businessman, and I believe it was 74, but he had taken up needlepoint, and he was working on projects, and I think he was 74 or 75 when he completed a project and began planning his next project, which was going to take him 5 years. So he wasn't sitting back and saying, I'm not going to do that. I'll do the one that's going to take 2 months because I'm pretty sure I'll be around for it. No, he's doing the one that's going to take 5 years. And that's how each and every one of us should do. I don't care where you are in your life or what you're doing. The minute you stop having something that you're working on that is an enhancement of who you are is the minute you've stopped living your life. So don't stop that. You know, it was an unfortunate aspect of watching my mother in her final years. She had stopped living her life. She had mentally, even though she was a rabid Catholic, she had actually mentally stopped living her life. It was always about what was missing in her life, not what was there. You know, she had wonderful grandchildren around her. She had my sister and my brother-in-law around her. There were other relatives around her. But it's always about what she didn't have. Now, I just picked a card from the Osho Zen Tarot deck, and it's a powerful card that goes with this. It's the card of courage. And what it shows is it shows this flower that's grown out of this crack in the rock. And what this card represents is the fact that nobody told the seed when it fell into that crack in the rock that it shouldn't sprout there. And nobody told that sprout that it shouldn't continue to aim for the reach out of the crack in the rock to get to the sun. And in addition, this flower has also birthed another flower. Nobody told the flower it shouldn't do that. So this is the time, this month, this week, starting tomorrow, this is the time for you to birth yourself in the ways you didn't think you could, because no matter what somebody says, it's never too late to be who you might have been. This is Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani. We'll be right back after the top of the hour. Thank you for listening. Namaste. Hello, I'm Solazar, and you're listening to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, as well as the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds May 2nd and 3rd. We also want to remind you about this coming Friday once again, because this Friday is the Circle of Light at the Unitarian Universalist Sanctuary, 490 Aquajito Road in Carmel. Now, at that time, at the quarterly preview, Kirilani and I will do the Wisdom of the Tarot. Joyce Muse will do the astrology. And Liliana Bethany will do the channeled guidance and numerology for the coming quarter. This is a highly anticipated event. It's a wonderfully attended event, and it's going to be there right on the 20th, this Friday the 20th. Now, the doors open at 7 p.m., and the event starts at 7:30 p.m., and there is an admission fee. So it helps if you get there between 7 and 7:30, get yourself seated. Generally, it's $11. It might be $16 now, so don't quote me on the exact price. But 490 Aquajito Road, Carmel, the Unitarian Universalist Sanctuary, is the Circle of Light, third Friday of every month. So we encourage you to go, because not only that, starting next Thursday, last Thursday of every month, Liliana Bethany and Nolan Matthew, founders of the Seventh Awakening, who also put together the Circle of Light, will be doing a segment on Good Vibrations Radio called The Great Awakening. They're bringing it back after almost 20 years to come and bring the message from the councils of the Seventh Awakening out to the world. So I hope you'll look forward to that. Not only do I hope you look forward to that, I hope you look forward to a lot of the new programming we've brought into Radio Monterey. We've essentially redesigned Radio Monterey from the ground up as much as possible. It ain't what it was 7 months ago. And so we've got the website, is new website is up, radiomonterey.com. We hope you'll visit it, take a look at our hosts, what they're offering in the schedule, and let us know what you'd like more of. Sign up for our email list on Radio Monterey so that we can keep you apprised of what's going on there. And while we're talking about email lists, go to goodvibrationsradio.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly emails, finding out what's going on with goodvibrationsradio.com. This journey this month of going to a daily show has required a lot of focus and attention, and I'm still working out the bugs. I'll be quite honest about that. So there's still some things going on that I'm trying to resolve. But for the most part, I'm enjoying it, and I hope you are as well. And if you're enjoying it, please tell your friends. Let everybody know. You know, we have a great series of shows here. You know, we have Kimberly Maroney at 3 p.m. on Monday on Radio Monterey, 3 p.m. Pacific time. You know, we have 4 p.m. on Tuesday. We also have Channeling the Wisdom of the Masters with Michelle Newman. On noon on Wednesday, we have Julie King with Spirited Radio. And at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, we have Joyce Muse with Your Lucky Stars. Those are just a few of the shows that we offer. But the reason I'm offering them is because they all tie into this whole energy of, are you finding out who you are, knowing who you are, and being very clear about it? And every tool at your disposal should be taken advantage of to know who you are. So speaking of knowing who you are, tomorrow on Good Vibrations Radio, we'll be doing Wellness Wednesday with Sherry Dr. Felton, and she'll be sharing her segment with some wellness tips. And we'll also have John Voris with Authentic Identity, who will give us an idea of how we can identify ourselves and who we are, which helps define our true purpose in life. And anything that helps define our true purpose in life is worth exploring. Because so often we hear, what's the most common question? As someone who does readings for people, the most common question is, you know, what's my purpose? Why am I here? Why am I here? And the truth is, we all think that our purpose must be something profound. You know, I'm here to discover the next cure to gridlock in the Congress, or I'm here to come up with an alternative to vaccines, or I'm here to come up with a natural food source that will feed the planet. We all tend to think of these grand and grandiose things, and sometimes we're here to be here in the place in the world where we are, being the person that we are. And we're here to do it without exhausting ourselves. We're here to do it without being so wrapped up in everything around us that we're willing to release all of those issues and move on to a more gentle flow of things. So we're all here to learn. There's no question about it. And that's the part of our journey. You know, we're also here to recognize that inside each and every one of us, I said you're God, I said you're divine. But not only that, is that we spend so much of our time seeking outside of ourselves for the gurus, the masters, who has the new magic solution that's going to change my life. And And what it comes down to is that all truths, all fundamental truths, are as old as recorded history and beyond. They haven't changed. They sometimes get repackaged and reframed and put with a new ribbon and bow. But all fundamental truths are still the same. And inside each of us is the divine masters that we seek. Inside each of us is the guidance that we pray for. Inside each of us are all the answers, and we don't need to go beyond that. The fact that we do seek information, and it sometimes triggers us to a new way of looking at things, is a positive thing. And if we approach ourselves and our journey with an unconditional acceptance and love, where we're willing to not look at ourselves with judgment, even as I said, for my past mistakes, my past poor choices, my past actions, my past non-honoring of others. But if I'm willing to forgive and move on, then I can have that breakthrough of my next step, because our steps are really all about forgiving ourselves. We often focus forgiveness on external people again, just like we focus our love. But if we don't forgive ourselves first, we never truly forgive the other person. We just kind of push it to the side. We say we've forgiven them, and then what have we done? We're holding a grudge inside. The next time they do anything similar to the incident that we tried to pretend to forgive them for, we suddenly have our next meltdown with them. So life is about participation. We all have to be a part of it. We all have to group into it. We have to work with other people. You know, Connie Podesta said life would be easy if it wasn't for the other people in it, but there are other people in it. We have to live, work, and honor those other people. And we have to be participants in it. We have to be in our own life. You know, I talked about Leslie Gore, about being the feminist she was. What I also didn't say is that Leslie Gore came out as gay. She certainly couldn't have come out as gay in the 60s. That wouldn't do. But she did come out as gay and lived her life very proudly with her partner for many, many years, actually over 30 years, of just living the life of the person that she truly was. That goes for all of us. Now, I'm not telling everybody to come out as gay if you're not. But what I am saying is that don't be afraid or ashamed to be who you are because of other people's stigmas, rules, or requirements. Be the true you. And as long as you're the true you, remember, nobody owns you, just as Leslie Gore said. You know, she's wonderful. I loved her music. I grew up on it. I grew up on that music and some other aspects. There was an innocence going from the 50s to the 60s. There was an innocence in the youth of that time that was damaged by the journey of Vietnam. And then we had, of course, those who marched against the war, but at the same time we had those who went off to war. So people were losing friends. People were fighting against being drafted or forced to do something. And there was a real schism that erupted in the country. And we actually today are still experiencing the schism that started at that time. It's not new. It's from the past. It's from before. So she represented the last of that innocence, that time when things really seemed to be more as portrayed in the Wonder Years. Not quite Ozzy and Harriet, but certainly Wonder Years. You went to work, you got a job, you bought a car, you bought a house, you had your little family, you cut the lawn, you read the paper, life was good. And that was just a dream. Just like all the good things are a dream. That's why it's important for us to create and frame the world we really want by living the world in our little pocket of the world, by identifying who we are, what's important, and living that world. Because if each and every one of us are creating that true world from who we truly are, we'll create the real dream. So this is Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani, and we will be right back after this commercial break.
How to thrive on planet Earth. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is Science Update. Human civilization has flourished over the past 10,000 years during an unusually stable period in Earth's history known as the Holocene. As societies developed, they had local impacts on the environment, but since the Industrial Revolution, our impact has become global.
Human activities have now become so large that they are starting to push the Earth system out of the Holocene state. You don't want to push the planet so far that you destabilize your own life support system.
That's Australian National University climate scientist Will Steffen. Along with an international team of scientists, he drafted the Planetary Boundaries Framework, a document that defines environmental limits within which humans can continue to thrive on Earth. Climate change and threats to biosphere integrity put Holocene-like stability in the most jeopardy, but other boundaries include ocean acidification, water use, and pollution. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.
Hi, I'm Michelle Newman, channeling the wisdom of the masters, helping you transmute and transcend into higher dimensional states, access higher guidance, and walk your spiritual path with strength, awareness, beauty, and insight. Your source for stellar wisdom every Tuesday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on Radio Monterey.
Perspectives with Ashley Burgess is authentic truth radio with relevant life-changing topics. I am the host of Perspectives, Ashley Burgess. We are constantly having discussions that are both entertaining and thought-provoking, and you won't find these discussions anywhere else. You know, you can tune in every night and get your healthy dose of perspective. If you're looking for the interesting perspective, if you're looking for thought-provoking, cutting-edge concepts and subjects, you've come to the right place. Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Listen to Ashley Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on Radio Monterey.
You can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Light. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajito Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio.
Right here on Radio Monterey. And I'm going to go back to reminding folks that this week we're giving away Living Life as a Thank You, the transformative power of daily gratitude. Send an email to solazar@gmail.com saying you want to be in the drawing for the book. And at the end of the week, we'll go ahead and award that to some lucky listener. It's a wonderful book that gives a series of exercise and guided exercises and things for us to do to really create gratitude in our life. By creating gratitude in our life, we actually open ourselves up to more gratitude to come in. So let's listen to what Jimmy has to say.
Playground, where am I gonna play? Found a better playground half a block away. Made a little song up, caught a little rhyme. An attitude of gratitude will do it every time. An attitude of gratitude when stuff has got you down can get you satisfied and turn your world around. An attitude of gratitude, hooray for what's okay. Say thank you with emphatitude. And it's a brand new day. Now daddy's in the doghouse, mama's up a tree, but I've got abuelita looking after me. Made myself a sandwich, a little P&J. An attitude of gratitude can chase the clouds away.
an attitude of gratitude, that's what it's all about. That no hope to be had attitude is sure to wear you out. An attitude of gratitude, hooray for what's okay. Say thank you with infatitude, and it's a brand new day.
An attitude of gratitude, you can't go wrong with that. As a matter of fact, as you start incorporating more gratitude into your daily practice, more acceptance of gratitude, more honoring of gratitude, you're going to find more things to be grateful for come your way. And one of the things I wanted to jump back to really did is really for us to really hear the full mantra. We're going to close out with a Huna healing done by Belinda Farrell, who's a Huna healer, reconnective healer, and what we want to do is really reinforce this message from Leslie Gore. She passed away at the age of 68. She was a fabulous icon of the early 60s. She really represented the voice of a teen generation during a time of innocence, before the innocence was torn away by the Vietnam War, by the power structure of our political system, by so much that just turned so many into cynics. And so many of those cynics, unfortunately, have now risen to power, places of power in our system, and are going out of their way to destroy those things that were good about that time. But that being said, I want you to remember this mantra, because this is the one that packs the punch. So, do you love to be free? Do you love to be young? Do you love to be who you are, no matter what age you are? No matter what age you are, you have the right to be who you are. Don't wait. You know, it's interesting when we hear about people like even Joel Gray, who came out and finally admitted that actually he was gay. He was really kind of a little bit more bisexual because he was married. He did father two children. But he really was a gay man. How often have we allowed others' opinions, others' ideas, and others' rules define our lives? Well, the time is no more. The time is now for you to say, I love you to you. The time is now for you to say, I will be who I am, and I will be it with pride, with honesty, and with integrity. Stop waiting for someone else. So here's what my role is tonight. Tonight, I'm the permission giver. I'm the permission giver. You may say, oh, you're telling me what to do. No, I'm telling you to stop letting others tell you what to do. I'm telling you to allow yourself to guide, to love, to honor who you are, the divine being, the divine creature, the God divinity that you are, and bring it out and shine it for all of us to see. Stop holding off. And if you're going to turn around and say, well, you know, I'll do that right after I get through with my Lenten denial of something, I say, horse hockey, stop that. Stop denying anything to yourself. If you're going to say, I'm going to allow myself to no longer eat sugar, then do that for you. If you're going to say, I'm no longer going to smoke, then do that for you. If you say, I'm not going to eat meat, do that for you. Don't do it for someone else's rules. Don't do it as some semblance of, let me show you how supplicant I could be before a divine God, because you're that divine God. And let me tell you something else. This omnipotent God being that lives in the out there, a God being doesn't need us to honor him or her. They don't need that. They're a God being. They already have everything they could possibly desire. And that's not godlike behavior. The Dalai Lama doesn't say, sit at my feet and listen to the wisdom that drips off out of my mouth. The Dalai Lama says, live your life as the spiritual being you are. The Dalai Lama says, be kind and connected to others and don't create harm. Why would a God being have less humility and wisdom than the Dalai Lama? So my point is, whatever you do, if you do Lent, do it for you. Don't do it for some deity or some God or some being or some rule of some religion that says, this is what you must do at this time to show whatever you're supposed to be showing. Now, when Kira and I were talking, we were talking about how so many people, and I mentioned this in the first hour, are really just struggling with things right now. So many people are going through changes and shifts and adjustments and things that they didn't see coming. It's the old, the light at the end of the tunnel was the train and it hit me. It's the old thing. It's going on with a lot of people. But we want to remind you that there is ways of approaching this that we all can control, especially if we're doing gratitude exercises. But we can also use positive affirmations. Now, affirmations don't necessarily change all behaviors, but they can shift our mindset. And where they can shift it, if we allow it to shift, is it can get us focused away from the negative and into the positive. One that I like is, there's a positive solution inside me for every one of my problems and issues. Now, some would argue, but wait, you said problems and issues. Yes, but if I'm already confronting the darkness of my problem, oh, crap, what's my problem? Well, now I'm saying there's a positive solution inside me for every one of my problems and issues. I am fearless in the face of any and all challenges. And that is really powerful to say when you're feeling fearful as opposed to fearless. I am beneath no one. I am totally independent of the good and bad opinions of others. These are ways of really taking your autonomy back to where it needs to be, where you're the one in charge. You're the one in charge of your life, your living, yourself, your happiness, and your desires. Get in charge of that. So, I am a worthy, deserving person. I am worthy of happiness. I am worthy of thinking my own thoughts. I am worthy of feeling my own feelings. I am worthy of loving and being loved. I am worthy of living my fortune. It's my birthright. I am worthy of being at peace with myself and the world. I have complete faith in myself, and I know my worthiness. We've shared many times on Good Vibrations Radio that if you want to create an affirmation or an intention for any part or aspect of your life, it's also wonderful to use some of the guidance that Mark Allen, the publisher of New World Library, shared. And that is, start each one with, in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, to remind ourselves that we're not looking to force, press, or push, or we're not looking to do it in a way that creates a harm for ourselves or others, in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, I am worthy of feeling my own feelings. In an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, I am a worthy, deserving person. Even though it seems antithetical to put those two things together, it creates a gentleness, a softness, a naturalness, and a love, a self-love for those types, for those affirmations. So start writing up your intentions in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way. Start using the creativity of the new moon to create that new frame, that new reference, that new life that you want. Start creating that central focus going forward. Start saying, I will no longer allow myself, in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, I will no longer allow myself to be defined by other people's opinions of me. In an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, I am totally independent of the good and bad opinions of others. Now, I once had a person say that back to me in a very spiteful way, and that was unfortunate, because the person missed the point. That is not the use of it. The use of it is to recognize is that our love, our honoring, and our acceptance of ourselves are what defines us, not the definitions of others. And it's important for us to be very clear about that as we go forward to apply our true purpose in this life. And when I say true purpose, I'm afraid that that's almost too defining, because our purpose is how we choose to express it. And how we choose to express it is about expressing our divinity in this world. You know, we can express our divinity in this world by just going to help out at the Monterey County Food Bank, by saying we're here to help others. We can express our true divinity in this world by actually assisting with the homeless in some way. We can express our true divinity in this world by trying to find ways of working and assisting with the elderly. We can express our true divinity in this world by just making sure that we are a kind, caring, connected, compassionate human being to everyone with whom we interact. We can express our true divinity in this world by raising a child to be a connected, caring, compassionate human being. We can express our true divinity in this world by trying to find a kind word to say about everyone. We can express our true divinity in this world by just being willing to provide a helping hand when our neighbor needs it, by reading a story to a child, by picking up a piece of litter that someone carelessly dropped, by feeding a stray animal or helping out at the Humane Society. We can be a connected, compassionate human being in this world in so many different ways with our true divinity, by finding the simplest ways to express it. That doesn't have to be profound. We don't have to go to the slums of New Delhi and Calcutta, as Mother Teresa did. Mother Teresa, who, while she did all that wonderful work, also never believed she was deserving. That's the unfortunate part of the story of Mother Teresa. It's not so much what she did, but she did it out of a sense of not being deserving. You deserve. You deserve to deserve. you deserve to honor and own your divinity and who you are. I want to remind everyone that we're going to close with a Huna healing, a clearing, a cord cutting, as narrated by Belinda Farrell. Belinda Farrell is a very powerful Huna healer and reconnective healer. And she offers much of her work on CDs as well as live sessions. She's out of Santa Cruz. She can be reached very, very easily. Her website is hunahealing.com. She's also a wonderful healer who will be at the Rota Psychic Fair in May for those who are interested. She wrote her book called Find Your Frigging Joy, a journey using ancient Hawaiian techniques to invite you to take personal responsibility to unplug from the old, non-productive stories and step into the frequencies of your higher self. It's the same thing we're talking about here. It's the same thing that Marianne Williamson talks about. It's the same thing that all of us are sharing or talking about. You can find out more by going to hunahealing.com, H-U-N-A, healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G.com. And tonight, the cord cutting that we're going to share comes from her Chant and Forgiveness CD, which is available on her store for $18.50 plus shipping and handling. But Belinda is a wonderful, talented, gentle healer who comes through her healing modalities through a journey of life that many of us have taken in our own rights. And what I mean by that is all of us have taken a variety of side roads and side visits before we end up in the path that seems to be the one for us. Belinda is an example of that in her own life, and it's been quite a journey. So for all of us, I like to be deal with people who have had the journey of life and have experienced the journey of life. And that's why I really truly appreciate the power that Belinda brings to this chant and this healing session that she's going to share with us. She had to camp herself on the doors of a Hawaiian shaman in order to learn these techniques because they didn't want to share it, especially with a Hale woman. And she was finally trained and brought forward to do that. So get ready to release those things that you're carrying forward. Take the time to sit comfortably and go through this process as guided by Belinda so you can release those people, places, and things you're carrying inside you that don't serve you anymore. Don't let the cords of connection to those who have harmed us or to those we're holding on to, don't let them continue to hold. So let's listen as Belinda guides us in this session so we can cut the cords of those people that we have yet to release from inside.
And now, it's time. Nohoana ke koe kana hele hele ia lia ia he te ti o hua hue ka ua koko ahana kino malu I ka lani malu e hoi e oho hu mai ahana ho kane I kona kahu hoa o anoa ai ke Now close your eyes. Take a deep breath through your nose. Hold the breath for a moment and then release the air through the mouth using a whispered ha sound, like this. Do a couple of ha breaths to send the life force up through your head, opening up the sixth chakra, or third eye, and the seventh chakra, your spiritual connection to higher self. And now, create a stage below you. You can be on a platform diagonally looking down onto the stage. You are now going to invite groups of people onto the stage, beginning with your mother and father. If they are deceased, then call them back to be on the stage, because you still carry parts of all of your family members inside of you. And notice the cords that have connected you to them from your umbilicus to theirs. Thin, sticky cords like cobwebs. If you have not resolved issues with them, then these cords are still present, draining your life energy and blocking your own healing and theirs. Now ask each one of them this question. Do you support me today in my experience and connection with higher self? If they answer yes, then give them a hug and let them go. If they answer no, or there's any doubt on your part, then have them simply stay on the stage. If you need to pause the tape to do this, then do so at this time. The next group to call on stage is your siblings, brothers and sisters. If you have no brothers and sisters, then you can meditate or just breathe deeply before going on to the next group. And ask them this question. Do you support me today in my experience and connection with my higher self? If they answer yes, then give them a hug and let them go. If they answer no, then have them stay on the stage. The next group is any children over the age of 16 years of age, or stepchildren. Have them come up onto the stage and ask them this question. Do you support me today in my experience and connection with my higher self? If they answer yes, then give them a hug and let them go. If they answer no, then have them stay on the stage. The next group are grandparents, both sides, aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews, nieces, or anyone who acted like an aunt or an uncle. Ask them the question. Do you support me today in my experience and connection with my higher self? If they answer yes, then give them a hug and let them go. And if they answer no, then have them stay on the stage. Our next group is exes. Everyone has an ex, an ex-wife, ex-husband, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, ex-boss. If you don't feel complete with them, then call them up onto the stage in their separate group and ask them this question. Do you support me today in my experience and connection with my higher self? If they answer yes, then give them a hug and let them go. If they answer no, then have them stay on the stage. The next group is mentors, teachers, or any authority figures that played a part in your life or still do. As they come onto the stage, ask them this question: do you support me today in my experience and connection with Higher Self? If they answer yes, then give them a hug and let them go. If they answer no, then have them stay on the stage. The next group is friends. Old friends, new friends, young friends. Ask them this question: do you support me today in my experience and connection with Higher Self? If they answer yes, then give them a hug and let them go. If they answer no, then just have them stay on the stage. The next group is clients, or anyone in a working relationship, past or present. It is inappropriate to hold on to their energy because it retards their growth as well as yours. Invite them to come on the stage and ask them this question: do you support me today in my experience and connection with Higher Self? If they answer yes, give them a hug and let them go. If they answer no, then have them stay on the stage. Now put your own self-image down there on the stage. Everything you've ever thought about yourself in a negative way, put that person down there. And notice the cords that have connected the real you, the person up on that platform, the person you really are, to that self-image way out there in front of you and down below. And now notice all the negative cords connecting you to that person, and notice where you've invested your electromagnetic energy into that false perception of yourself and literally sent your spirit away. Well, now it's time to call your spirit back. The choice is yours. Now, use your inner vision to see, hear, or feel if there are any other dark areas deep within the unconscious mind. Any stuck negative energy that has been stagnant for a while, unable to move away. If you feel or know there is something like that inside, I'd like to talk to those thought forms now. Your conscious mind will not understand these words, but your unconscious mind will understand. And what I want to say is, you are not Amakua. You are Onihipili, and you do not serve yourself or this individual by staying here. You have completed your karmic responsibility here in this lifetime, and now your job is to let go of this individual and grow and evolve to the next highest form. Letting go is the only way you can do this. Do you understand? with infinite love and respect. I will send you a guide to take you to the light where you need to go to grow and evolve to your next highest level. But you must go now. Just follow the blue-white light. It will take you where you need to go.
Hi, nohana ke akui kana hele hele. Ia lia ia he te tio hua hue ka ua koko. Ahana kino malui kalani malu e hoi. E oho humai ahana ho kane I kona kahu. Hoa oa noa ua ike.
And now, from a place outside yourself, located above the top of your head, a place of infinite love, of light and healing, feel it come down now through the top of your head. Ask, and you shall receive your higher self to send down the light from the top of your head all the way down through your mind and into your heart. And then sending that light down from your heart to all those people down there on that stage, down to their higher selves, even the dark thought forms, until they are completely surrounded by the light of love and healing, and they are totally whole and totally healed. Then ask, and you shall receive your higher self to offer each one forgiveness. Have a conversation with each and every one of those people on the stage. It can be as simple as, I forgive you. And hear back from them, I forgive you. Ask your higher self to do this for you. It could be done very quickly. Remember, it's the parts inside of you that are forgiving themselves. And call your spirit back. When you feel the forgiveness is complete, then take a cutting instrument. It can be a knife, scissors, an electric chainsaw. It's always your choice. And cut the negative cords that have connected you to them, draining your energy and theirs, and watch them float away. Remember, you cannot cut the universal cord of love, because that is who you are. You are only cutting the negative cords. Then tuck the leftover cords back inside of yourself at the umbilical junction. So when you think about this person now, you'll feel more neutral and relaxed. When you meet again, in thought or in person, you'll both have more energy and be at a higher level to deal with issues. This process can be done each and every day with people and events to increase your energy and promote your own healing. If some people do not leave the stage, just know that you can repeat this process with them at another time, because the person you are really forgiving is yourself. This final chant reminds us that we do deserve forgiveness. We have come here to remember once again that we are beings of light. I call the higher self now, and I call all the way up to the Alaneo, and I ask to make a close connection all the way from the heavens and all the way down to me on earth. And as the connections are made, it raises the vibrations of my body, mind, and I enter into the supreme sleep with the aid of the kahuna. Remember, we all have the healing powers within us. All. Remember and call your spirit back.